when we were told how beneficial the SEPA and the Swan Tie Intertie were going to be for us, we were told that when the bonded indebtedness was paid off, the rates would probably go down. Why in the heck are we now talking about rate increases or the possibility of them? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got me now.
Mr. Ashton, we're going to have to cut off the public here pretty soon, but I don't want to deny people the right to speak.
Brian Ashton, 730 Case Avenue. Some of the testimony early on was a little oversimplified, just as far as how SEPA operates and what SEPA does. There are some very real costs that are very legitimate that need to be looked at, that are being managed wisely. And it isn't as simple as just taking over TIE and pocketing the money. There's a lot of costs to the transmission lines and stuff that are a very significant cost and burden and risk that can't be insured for. And so it's very difficult to balance out how much you hold in reserve for those uninsured accidents that can happen, things like that. And I can assure you that the board is making the best choices we can in trying to manage that reserve and debt and keeping the cost down. However, with that said, I can tell you that the last two budget meetings for SEPA, it was asked that we consider stopping the rebate 2 years running now, and to advise us that we're probably going to have to increase our wholesale power rate because some of the costs for doing maintenance on this system, being as old as it is, are coming due. So we have a lot of R&R costs that are coming up. And as you guys have seen from the report I gave, we're scrutinizing a lot of those R&R costs. We're really pushing the staff to make sure they get things done so they're not just hanging out there for a couple of years and not getting done. But I also wanted to just say that I concur with everything Clay said. It was all pretty much accurate and reasonable. The only thing that I would maybe disagree slightly on is just the interpretation of how to manage O&M billing, because I do think that we could manage that properly and not have Ketchikan go crazy with their O&M costs and bill inappropriately. There's things in place to take care of that. So until we do get things figured out and until the Energy Board can get moving and report back to the council with some advice and consideration, it may be a good idea to simply ask SEPA to cover the whole O&M contract. I think that would be a wise thing to do and push that a little bit. But I would ask if you to change your motion for the City Council to ask SEPA that directly. You can certainly ask me to ask them that, and I'll waive the letter that you send me to do that. But I think it'd be a lot stronger if the council does approve requesting SEPA to cover the costs, to ask SEPA directly. The only other thing I want to say is that, in my estimation, Wrangell is most like Ketchikan in the O&M contract situation. That's and unlike Petersburg, in that Ketchikan either last year or earlier this year passed a resolution making it very, very clear that they will not give up operations of SWAN as an O&M contractor because it is within their borough boundaries as a renewable energy resource. And I called one of the managers at KPU just to confirm that just before I came to the meeting to be sure. And he said, yes, they did. They very unequivocally passed a resolution to say we will not give up on O&M management of SWAN. And in the same way, TIE is within our boundaries as a renewable energy resource, and I think that we have justification for taking that same position. If Petersburg chooses to stay in as a partner, keep it going. But if not, you know, we are simply different. So just consider that. The only other thing I'd like to recommend is that we do need to appoint a new chair for the Energy Board. I think the Energy Board needs to move ahead with what it's tasked to do. I think with what Clay was talking about with the new technology coming down the pike, and I'll also confer enthusiastically, it's very significant to the point that technology that hasn't even arrived yet, that Japan has developed and is working now for the last 10 years, is to the tune of cutting heat costs by up to 80% from what electric heat costs cost right now. It's very significant, and it's very real, and it's working right now. I think that encouraging people would be a good way to basically encourage this kind of investment. I think a letter to Alaska Housing Finance to expand on their energy programs would be a good way to start. The idea of a new heat rate for this higher level technology, because it is going to be somewhat of an expense and investment, would be a good way to start as well. And we would definitely save money in the end than having to put on diesel or build new hydro facilities. That's it. Do you guys have any questions of your board member?
I just have one question, and I don't know if it, I apologize for not being here earlier. Does SEPA pay for KPU's O&M?
I'm told that they do.
But SEPA does cover their costs?
But not officially. It's all kind of rolled in. Okay. And again, that's where we just simply have to call it. I guess that's where we just have to, you know, address the issues and simply identify what that means.
Okay.
You know, because an audit process will take care of that.
A what? Oh, not okay.
Generally, I think what's happened in the past is that both of us, the Ketchikan has O&M costs. I don't know if you're talking about the stuff they're denying.
Well, pretty much what I'm wondering is if, since this is what we're asking, does SEPA cover secretary wage of KPU?
I do not believe they ever have.
Okay. They roll it in.
If you're losing me on this rolling in.
You have to cut.
Okay, please.
You.
Okay.
My understanding, yeah, that would be the best way to do it, is simply ask that to KPU to get clear clarification. Remember, KPU is a utility. It's not,
correct.
It's not a Thomas Bay Power
right.
Authority.
I understand that.
So it's a little bit different.
A little different in their entity.
It is. So there's no easy answer to that question. The proper way to ask the question, I feel, is to simply say, is Thomas Bay existing right now because of Thomas Bay's lack of involvement in other energy issues? For whatever reason, do they simply exist to run that renewable energy resource within our borders? And the answer is yes. And if that and for that reason, it's a very simple answer to me, because I've reviewed the policies of the past, why they didn't pay before, trying to establish fairness so people weren't plugging in more money than necessary because the state was, you know, shoring up other 4-dam pool members. But the reality is right now is Thomas Bay exists to manage that renewable resource within our borough boundaries. That's all they do. And for that reason, I think it's fair to ask that it be compensated as part of the O&M.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody that spoke tonight. It certainly gave us a lot of insight that we didn't have before, I'm sure. I didn't anyway. And I do appreciate it. I do have one question for Robin Taylor. As a person who was there when this legislation was passed, and as an attorney, I don't want you to make a snap decision or answer tonight either. Thomas Bay was formed under the same statutes as SEPA, is that correct?
No, Thomas Bay was formed much earlier.
Yes, but
when we first created the two.
The statutes evolved.
The Joint Action Agency was a bill I drafted that I withdrew mine so Tony Knowles could file his over the top. It was the same thing, we just put his name on it. That way we got him to pass it.
And I should back up and say the full
that's where the full Joint Action Agency is what was created to take over from the 4-dam pool. And the Joint Action Agency did not include the state. The 4-dam pool did. It included the state, and they had a voting member on it, and he had a veto, basically, of anything you wanted to do. So it was quite a cumbersome thing. And the 4-dam pool wasn't a fair operation. I mean, a whole lot of our revenue was coming out of Kodiak. Copper Valley was having, it was just a multitude of problems, because these are all very unique dams and hydro projects, all with different expenses and different overhead and costs, and as a consequence, you had this panel that was made up of the users of all 4 dams and the state. And the best example I can give you is under our power sales agreement, the state of Alaska was supposed to pay for the maintenance on our power line coming from Tyee. And remember what happened? We had to sit down with them and have them exercise what was called the self-help clause. We quit sending money to the state and refused to send it in until the, we had our power line was touching the ground over on Mitkoff. That's the only way we got the state's attention, so they then had to come in and rebuild that line. They would never have rebuilt it if we didn't quit sending them the checks. That's how rough of an operation the four dam pool really was. And the dream was to divest these things. Let Kodiak own Terror Lake. Let Wrangell own Tyee. Let Ketchikan have Swan. When I say Wrangell, I meant Wrangell-Petersburg, because we worked very well together, really, as a community. I want to see us get back to that. I want to see us get back to where there's two communities holding hands running this facility. And you're talking chunk change. I mean, I think the total amount you're talking about is a percentage of one of these five guys' salaries down there on SEPA. There's some pretty big wages being paid down there, all coming out of our rates, by the way, kids. So, and I tell you, it scares the heck out of me when I hear Clay say, oh, we had that super low rate for electricity. Hey, they sucked us all into using electricity in our houses. Now it's a, quote, super low rate, and we may have to adjust that to put in heat pumps. Oh, I have to throw out my electric furnace now so I can go buy new technology heat pump? I don't think that's going to sell real good. I mean, I don't want to be the one proposing that. Maybe SEPA is.
I guess my question really was, did it take legislative approval to form Thomas Bay?
No. It took a legislative vehicle for us to work within as part of the Joint Action Agency to accomplish the transition of moving the assets from the four dam pool over to that, so as to allow the breakup to then occur so Kodiak could have their plant and we could have ours. Yeah, we had to have legislation for that, Dave. We sure have, Mayor.
But it wouldn't, if we decided for some odd reason to just do away with Thomas Bay, it would not take legislative approval to do that, as no. It did with the four dam pool.
Wouldn't take legislative approval. No. This is an entity. It depends on whether you're talking, though, about Thomas Bay Power Authority, which is basically an operating utility, or Thomas Bay Commission. If you're talking about commission, you're actually, I think that one probably will take a vote of the people, because it's part of your charter.
Because
it was the people that created it, you know. Mr. Mayor, one little thing I want to say before I step down. My big goal and has always been to create corridors of access into Southeast Alaska. We did that through a bill called TLU, which Gary Morrison here in town really helped a great deal on, and Lloyd Jones when he was working for Don Young. That is federal law. It's never been changed. It's still very valid. That would give the state of Alaska the corridor coming down from the Canadian border to the Bradfield. And you're all familiar with that. Well, the map that created that, I drew. And I did it with a magic marker, kind of a thick one. It also grants the right-of-way for Juneau to have a road on either side of Lynn Canal going to Canada. It also grants a right-of-way that goes up the Taku River, so that you could run a power line out of Snitisham up to the Telsequa Chief and on into Dease Lake. It also provides a road all the way into Ketchikan and a road all the way into Wrangell and across the island for Sitka. I mean, all of that is on that map. Here's the one thing that's missing. Nobody's ever appropriated the money to survey any one of those corridors. So the land still sits in federal ownership as part of the Tongass National Forest. You have no rights, the state has no right over it, but all you have to do, and I don't know what this cost might be. My guess is it could run a couple hundred thousand, maybe up to a million, to run a P line, just a centered line, from saltwater at Bradfield to the Canadian border. Once we have, the state has done that survey, we have then delineated what we want for a corridor. Since this is your borough land and it's going to be borough tax base, anything built on it, we should be the first hog at the trough right now, saying, look, Senator Stedman, Representative Peggy, please appropriate the money necessary to do that survey. When the survey's been completed, you send the survey results back to Washington, D.C., and they are required to convey to the state of Alaska that corridor of land.